When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello again and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. Barry Murphy, which you hear from the news team. I'm joined on the line by our deputy news editor, Amy Ford, and news correspondents, Declan O'Brien, Noel Barden and Rachel Donovan. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll discuss how a suckler cull scheme has been recommended in the Food Vision Beef and Sheep Report. Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConlogue has been handed the report, which contains proposals to cut emissions in the beef and sheep sectors, but the farm orgs haven't given it their backing. Amy will tell us more. We also discuss the upcoming Climate Action Plan for 2023, a new agri-food regulator, rewetting, veterinary medicine regulations and a fodder support scheme payments. First up, Amy, over to you. Your page one story this week looks at the proposed suckler cull from this Food Vision Beef and Sheep Report. Look, there's lots in it, Amy. I was reading it myself this morning. What do farmers need to know?
Yeah, so essentially, Barry, the main thrust of it essentially is that there's two schemes that have been mooted or suggested, recommended really, to destock the national suckler herd to the minister by this group. As you said earlier in your intro there, look, farm organisations, although they're centrally involved in the process on this Food Vision group, they've completely distanced themselves from the final report, either reserving their position on it or in the case of the INHFA walking away and withdrawing from the process entirely. So what do these schemes say? So destocking a farmer's suckler herd, it's been estimated to add up to €1,350 per cow in terms of income forgone if there was such a scheme. But then there's absolutely no compensation payments included. So there's no idea as to how many years such a scheme could run, how much money it would pay farmers and what the conditions would be. It recommends that suckler farmers are paid basically through these voluntary schemes. And that's a key word, voluntary. They're not saying the schemes will be mandatory, but that they'll be voluntary. So to wind up their operations completely or to cut back on some cows. So an extensification scheme and a diversification scheme, partially cut numbers or completely cut numbers and do something else essentially.
And Amy, look, you mentioned there that the farm organisations haven't got their backing. Can it go anywhere without their support?
So, look, it's gone to the minister. It's on his desk, no more than the Food Vision dairy group. And we'll all be very sick of talking about Food Vision come Christmas. But it's on his desk. So it's still recommendations. Like all these farm organisations, they did take part in the group. They obviously had criticisms and they had suggestions and they were constructive in terms of it. But it's gone to the minister whether he decides he can't move forward with it. I can't really see that happening. We have a climate action plan that needs to be agreed in the next 2 weeks coming down the tracks, and these two reports are expected to form part of that for the coming years. So it's really hard to see how we can't use that to move forward when the whole point of setting up these groups was to come up with reports to suggest actions that farmers would do to reduce emissions, which is the whole point of it. And you know, we can't really just do a report and, well, there's two sides to it. You can't really do a report and then not act on it. But the other side of it is, can you act on it if there's no backing? So he's halfway stuck between a rock and a hard place, but I have a feeling he's going to have to jump on it and take some of the measures on board and then put them into the climate action plan or bring them out in some way over the coming years, because basically we need to act, like, to reduce emissions. There needs to be something done, essentially. I don't think he has a choice.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, give more on that on page 6. And look, I know you referenced the climate action plan there. You have a small update on page 3 of this week's paper on where the climate action plan for 2023 is currently at. Can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, the only bit more I can tell you, Barry, is talks are still ongoing and there's nothing set in stone yet. That's what Minister of State of the Department, Pippa Hackett, told us this week, that nothing was set in stone. Negotiations between officials and department ministers are ongoing. As I said there, it's likely that the Food Vision reports will help set those measures. And there's likely to be increased use of low emission slurry spread and protected urea. And I suppose, look, the forestry and organic sectors are likely to feature in a plan that would chime in well for the government in terms of the recently launched €1.3 billion forestry programme, which will start next year. That's going to form a good chunk of cutting emissions, as well as the organic farming scheme, which has definitely over 500 applicants so far to go into the scheme, and that'll help reduce emissions. On the renewable side of things, it's also expected to elaborate on increased renewable energy targets, such as possibly around the renewable heat obligation and the small scale generation scheme, but all still kind of really up in the air and nothing concrete yet.
As I said, I mean, nothing concrete. I suppose there might have been some concrete things in another piece on climate today. I see Togish launched its new climate strategy. I understand, look, yourself and Rage were out at the launch. What are the strategy's main aspects?
Yeah, so there's three legs to the stool, essentially, of this one. And one of them is the farm level, that farm level carbon emissions are going to be measured on a new platform. So essentially, the however much carbon your farm emits is going to be measured at home, and how much it sequesters eventually is also going to be measured by Chagask. They've gone into kind of a grouping with ICBF and Bord Bia and the department to deliver this new platform, which will allow for whole farm sustainability assessments, essentially, and the counting of carbon emissions and sequestration. It'll be launched in the first quarter of 2023 with a pilot action planner, and then it'll be updated in the second quarter for dairy and beef farmers, and then eventually it will be rolled out to sheep and tillage and pig farmers. And it's by 2025, it's to incorporate, you know, soil, forestry and biodiversity mapping, and 2026 it will include soil carbon. Farmers will have to give permission now for their data to be used in this new platform, and that could include such things as their Bord Bia quality assurance audit data, data from the AIM system, so, you know, when you're registering calves, and possibly co-op feed data. And then that data is going to basically be taken and analysed, and that'll help inform actions on farms. And speaking at the event on Thursday, Sean Coughlin of the ICBF said that the critical thing is that if farmers are nervous about what's happening with their data, that's a good thing, because it is very powerful, the data that's on every single farmer's inside everyone's farm gate, essentially. And if it's in the wrong hands, he said, it can be used against farmers. And he said that data is still owned and controlled by farmers, and that won't be going anywhere without their permission. But plenty more on that to come. And I think our colleague Rachel Donovan, she was chatting to Chagas director Professor Frank O'Mara, and here's what he had to say on the climate strategy.
Okay, so I'm joined with Frank O'Mara, director of Chagas. Frank, what exactly has Chagas announced today for farmers?
So, listen, we've announced a new climate action strategy, and that's what we are going to do to support farmers to take actions to tackle climate change. And there's three big parts to the strategy that we launched today. The first is we're putting in place a new, what we're calling, signpost advisory service. This is a service that individual farmers can sign up to, and we'll support them with developing a plan to reduce emissions on their farm and to implement that plan. Second thing we're launching is a new virtual centre, Research and Innovation Centre in Agriculture and Climate Change. And this is to pull together all our research in agriculture and climate change, put in more resources into it, so that we can accelerate the development of new technologies to reduce emissions and to increase sequestration. And the third thing we're launching, and this is in partnership with Bord Bia and ICBF, is a new sustainability digital platform. And that's a tool that will allow us to benchmark individual farms, work through the development of a plan for those individual farms, and track the progress with that plan.
And I suppose, in terms of advisors, how many advisors will be on the ground for the signpost element?
So we would hope to have, by the end of quarter one, we'll have 30 advisors, new additional advisors allocated to this programme. Obviously, look, it's not as if our own current advisors are going to stop doing advice in relation to climate change, but these are 30 people whose role will be specifically around activities and supporting farmers with climate change. So the target is to have those in place by the end of quarter one. And we would hope to add to that number over the coming years.
And I suppose in terms of farm enterprises, which will you target first, or what will be up and running initially?
Well, look, I suppose we don't want to make this a kind of a priority for any enterprise, because I think every enterprise will have to try to address climate change. So our sustainability planner will initially have beef and dairy, but we will be looking to work with tillage and sheep and pig farmers indeed over the next short period as well. So look, it's all farmers. And I think the other thing about our farmers is an awful lot of farmers have mixed enterprises. There's actually not many farms that are only tillage or only sheep or only beef or indeed only dairy. So we do feel we need to be able to work across all the enterprises at the one time.
Good stuff. Thanks, Amy. And thanks, Rachel, for that piece there from Professor Frank O'Mara. Look, moving on to DEC next. DEC, you have an exclusive story on page 3 this week where you report that the government's attorney general has torpedoed the upcoming veterinary medicine regulations with a new legal opinion. Regular listeners to the podcast will know we've covered this one for a while now, Dec. Is this good or bad news for farmers?
Well, I suppose it's a relief for farmers in a way, in that it's going to delay the implementation of the new regime, which was going to put tighter controls on the use of vet meds. But ultimately, it could cause problems for farmers in that the Attorney General's legal opinion is that the attempts by the merchants and the co-ops to have responsible persons allowed to dispense medicines, even if they're only doses and drenches and warmers, that position is in essence legal, and it comes back to a point that the vets were making all along, is, and that is that they're the only people that are allowed to prescribe medicines. Others can dispense them, but to prescribe them is in the remit of the vet, and that the vets are only the only profession that are then responsible to the veterinary council, and that it's nobody else can prescribe medicines. So it really undermines the attempts by the merchants and the co-ops to kind of dilute the implications of these tighter controls. So really, it is back to the drawing board for the minister, and it's kind of an embarrassing climb down for Minister McConlogue, really.
Yeah, that was my feeling on it as well, Dec. And look, you have another one on page 5, which is also somewhat of a climb down as well. Our news editor, Katrina Morrissey, reports that cutaway bogs are offering some sort of a reprieve or rethink when it comes to these new EU rewetting proposals. I know this is one you and Noel have been close to over the last couple of months as well. Are farmers getting off the hook here?
Well, they're getting off the hook in the medium term, potentially. What the commissioner is saying is that the requirement to re-wet up to 50% of the country's peatlands, or to restore up to 50% of the country's peatlands and to re-wet half of those, which then increases to 70% by 2050 and with half 70% restored and half of those re-wet, that a lot of that re-wetting can be done by utilising or by targeting cutaway bogs that the likes of Bord na Mona hold. They hold between 70,000 and 80,000 hectares. So it allows farmers to get away for a while. But ultimately, when you go to the higher levels of commitment by 2050, it will mean that the drained peatlands that are now farmed will come into the net. So it's a reprieve rather than getting away scot-free, but it'll be welcomed by farmers, albeit that ultimately it's going to be how the government assesses the nature restoration law and how it implements it is going to be the most, I suppose, the most interesting part of that from a farmer perspective. But one of the things that the INHFA and Marion Harkin learned over in Brussels as well was that there is greater flexibility on how the nature restoration law is to be implemented in member states. And that flexibility will put it back into Ireland's court in how they choose what lands they choose to re-wet. So if there is a benign interpretation of the ruling on the part of the government, then farmers at least have got a get out of jail card up to 2040. But certainly re-wetting is on the agenda and is coming down the tracks. And if you took last week in the Dáil, you had the former Minister for Climate Change, Richard Bruton, saying, look, we should take on board what's happening here, re-wet these lands. And he was talking of the full 300,000 hectares that are farmed by about 40,000 farmers, and said, re-wet them. And the savings that we'll make on climate fines will allow up to 2,500 a hectare to be paid on these lands. So this is a debate, I think, that's going to move from policy really into from farming and from nature into climate as well, and is going to become kind of move center stage, I think, as the climate action plan becomes nailed down by the government.
Yeah, it's very interesting, Dick, and it's definitely not one that's black and white. And as you said, a bit more to be ironed out there in Leinster House in terms of how we approach this independently of the EU with that flexibility. Look, another good news for farmers, Noel Barden, you report on page 4 that payments have commenced for farmers who apply to the Fodder Support Scheme 2022. This is a payment for saving hay and silage, Noel. How much money is going farmers' way?
Yeah, so this is a scheme we would have been following along since it was announced during the summer. It was introduced with 56 million euros behind it to support dry stock farmers, beef and sheep farmers, to make silage and hay this year in light of the high input costs, particularly fertilizer. And it was meant to really try and safeguard against any kind of a fodder shortage that might hit us as we head into the winter. So payments for that started on Wednesday, and the payments are being made at 100 euro a hectare up to 10 hectares. Now, farmers will only be paid for the amount that they applied for under the scheme. So if a farmer cut more but they hadn't applied for it, that's just unfortunate in that they won't get paid for those extra couple of hectares that they might have. And there is quite a few beef and sheep farmers that are to receive payment, 71,000 of them. So a lot of cash on the way for the dry stock sector. And I suppose as well as that, there's another kind of a cash flow boost for the sector with 373 million euro of BPS and greening monies on the way. So farmers started to receive their 70% advance payment over the past maybe 5 or 6 weeks. And the 30% of their BPS and greening payments that are left, they have started to issue from today. So that is Thursday. So there is another boost of cash flowing into the sector, and it will be very badly needed, I'd say, this winter with input costs the way they are and with concentrate prices at record levels.
Yeah, definitely, Noel, a welcome income boost for farmers who have to pay a few bills this time of year coming into the winter period. And I think it's worth noting there as well, and just to explain to listeners, that the 2023 fodder support scheme is currently remaining open for applications, and the deadline for that is the 5th of December. And what the minister, or what the department is seeking to do there, is to get the first half of that payment to farmers before the end of this year. So for their 2023 payment under the scheme, farmers are set to receive it before the last day of December. So that's the way that one is working. But thanks, Noel. Moving on finally to Rachel. On page 3, you report that on this new agri-food regulator. Look, Rachel, this one has been a long time coming. What's the latest detail you have?
The main objective of this new agri-food regulator is ultimately to bring transparency to the food chain, to the food supply chain, I suppose, so it can be clear, especially for farmers, what is going on between suppliers and buyers. And I suppose one of the key powers of the new regulator will mean that fines of up to 10 million euros may be imposed for breaches of unfair trading practices. between suppliers and buyers. So it'll also regularly publish reports on price and market data, so beef price. The good news came on Wednesday. Minister McConnell Logue said that he has secured cabinet approval. That was on Tuesday, for the food supply chain bill. And I suppose this brings the statutory authority one step closer to being established, which he hopes in all will be up and running as soon as possible. He hasn't given a date yet, but I suppose ultimately, Barry, he has promised that the new regulator will reward farmers appropriately. So hopefully it can live up to those expectations.
Yeah, it'll definitely hopefully bring a bit of transparency to the sector. Rachel, look, thanks for joining. That's all we have time for this week, folks. Plenty more in this week's paper, including news of record-breaking fat stock cattle sales in Carrick and Shannon this week, where 14,500 went to a commercial Belgian Blue Heifer born in May. More on that on page 3 of the paper and the pedigree pages. On page 4, Tommy Miles reports on the AFBD Young Farmer of the Year Awards, which saw Sligo dairy farmer Christopher Tuffy crowned. More on those and all of the stories discussed by the team today in this week's paper, available in shops across the country now. Thanks for joining and for listening. Safe farming, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.